Through the congregation loves this song so much, why don't we just let everybody come down, we'll all sing it. How's that? That work?
No.
Won't work? My, you don't want to sing it? You don't want to sing it?
No.
Okay. You go get stand and sing anyway. And I figured it out. You just didn't want to see my face. Anyway. So I'll stand and turn to page 104.
Shepherd, the rock of all ages.
praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. He is sure worthy of our praise and honor and worship this morning. Praise his holy name. Anyone have anything on your heart this morning? Have your Bibles, and you want to turn with me to the book of Luke chapter 9. And the message this morning is coming between Sunday school lessons last week and this week. And this is a Sunday school lesson didn't hit on this scripture, this particular scripture. And the Lord had stirred my heart, and I felt like that this is where he would have us to go. Jesus had sent the 12 out, and the 5,000 was fed, and Peter made his confession of faith, and then Jesus said, and we had studied the cost of discipleship Jesus had went through, and then down here, before we get into this week's lesson, and we see the transfiguration of Christ on the mount, and felt like it wanted to. Maybe we don't hear a whole lot of messages on this. I have not preached on it much. I've used some, but wow, what a very intriguing passage this is, and it just stirs me to think about it and what these guys got to be a part of. And I'm just... if you would stand with me, we want to start reading at verse 27 of Luke chapter 9. When you find your place, say amen. 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 That's the most of us. So, but I tell you of a truth that there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. And it came to pass about it, and 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, or Elijah, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Now, I'll probably miss this during the message, but I want you to look that his decease, which he should accomplish. It was an accomplishment for him to die for our sins. It was a victory for him. He didn't get defeated. He didn't get beat. It was an accomplishment for him. Wow, when I studied that, I got this. Boy, the Holy Ghost ran up and down my eyes. There's chill bumps ran down my knees right now. And what an accomplishment that he accomplished this so we could be saved. Praise his holy name. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were awake, they saw his glory, and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. There came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. When the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. They kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for the blessings of being together as a group of believers. We thank you, Lord, for the presence of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for your scripture, the words that is our words of life. Lord, did I thank you that we can take these words and I believe that it is the actual word of God. And Lord, did I thank you for it. Lord, did I ask you that you'd help us today to get a glimpse of what the disciples got. Lord, that we could see your glory. And Father, that we could see how magnificent and wonderful you are. Your name is wonderful. Lord, we praise you today. We exalt you today. We want to lift you higher than anything. And I pray no one would see me. They'd only see you. Lord, that we understand and know, and especially through this passage, that there's nobody on the same plane that you are. And Lord, we exalt you today. Lord, I ask you to get rid of the devil, his evil forces, and send them wherever you see fit. In Jesus' name, and Lord, anoint this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. In the other Gospels, at least one of them, the word is transfigured, is used. It's not in this one, but it means, the Greek of it is metamorpho, and it means to transform or a metamorphosis. And so it is the changing is what that this was, and they was actually seeing the changing, the transformation of actually getting to see Jesus had on the human flesh. And at this time on this mount, they actually got to see with their human eyes the glory of him. At his glory, his pre-incarnate glory, before he came to earth, the glory he had in heaven, they got to see that on this mount. Praise the name of the Lord. I tell you, that just excites me and intrigues me. But as we look and we're thinking about this, at verse 27, the strange statement about the kingdom, he said there's some standing here that's not going to die until they see the kingdom of God. Now, he didn't say all the disciples was going to see it. He said there's some standing here. And there's different beliefs on what that passage, some Bibles and translations puts this 27 up in the previous part and don't tie it in. I am convinced that when he said this, he is talking about these three disciples. That is who he is talking about that was going to see the kingdom of God, would see his glory. And these disciples, these three disciples, was given a glimpse of the coming kingdom, given a glimpse of the glory of Jesus Christ. And I tell you, I believe when they came down off that mountain, they had a little different opinion about him than when they went up. I believe that he was a little higher, as Rachel Morgan says, on the love meter than he was when they went up on the mountain. And if we can see in faith the true glory of God and see his goodness and that Jesus Christ and the blessings and his glory, it'll change us. We'll be different when we look with faith in and see who he really is. A lot of folks see him as a good man. A lot of folks see him as a good teacher. A lot of folks see him as a prophet. A lot of difference. But I see him as the Son of God. All-knowing, all-powerful, all-wisdom. I praise him this morning to who he is. Lord, he's my Savior. And they saw They went up to this mountain to pray, and they saw him transfigured. They saw him changed into his true glory. And Peter, in 2 Peter, actually, he wrote and said that, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." He said, what we're telling you, it's not something made up. We was eyewitnesses of his glory. We was eyewitnesses of the majesty that he had. We got to see it. Glory, hallelujah. Praise his name this morning. Did you love him this morning? Boy, do you appreciate the glory that he has and the power that he has? The Bible said that all power has been given to him in heaven and in earth. And he was God in heaven, and he came down the earth so we could be saved. Glory, hallelujah. That ought to get a Free Will Baptist shouting. Praise the name of the Lord. What we have this morning in Jesus Christ. Glory, hallelujah. Want to look, the first thing I see is the delightful meeting in verses 30 and 31. "And behold, there talked with him two men which were Elias, Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease which he should accomplish at Jerusalem." See, I want us to look and think here a minute. Jesus prayed. The Son of God prayed. He prayed in crisis. He prayed in decision makings. He prayed in hard times. He prayed in good times. He'd get along and pray. Jesus was a praying man. And he was God's Son. Boy, how much more ought we to pray? In Acts 9:11, when the Lord was talking to Ananias about Paul, and when he was changed from Saul to Paul, he said, "There's one coming." And I said, "Lord, now you've got this wrong. This guy's coming to haul us to jail." He said, "Behold, he prayeth." His description of a converted, changed life was he was praying. Woo! That's pretty heavy stuff right there. And this, we see Jesus, the Son of God, he would go to the mountains and pray all night long. He was much in prayer. And so I see that as Christians, Lord, we ought to be in prayer. I'm preaching to the preacher. I don't pray enough, I'll be honest. And I've got one finger out and four back. We need to be on our face before God in prayer. He prayed. Saul prayed. The disciples prayed. We see the early church prayed. They prayed. They got together and prayed so much that the wind came as a mighty rushing wind. Boy, I don't know. I didn't mean to talk about this, but I tell you, the first time I ever shouted, I can share it with you. We were having Bible school at Limestone, and we was meeting in a little side room. If you look kind of like this, a door just about like that, goes right into a little Sunday school class. We would meet up there and pray after the service. We was meeting in there. We got to talking about applying the blood, a doorpost. We had a big, long list of people, and we started applying the blood over all those names on that list. And we got in there, and the door was shut. We got in there and got to praying, and the power of God hit that place, and there's a breeze blowed across the back of my neck. I lost it. I come up there shouting, J.M. I remember me and Preacher locked the doors up. Me and Preacher cut show after everybody else was gone. And we was in the basement, and Preacher was walking through the halls. Well, glory. I'm telling you, we got a visitation. We got a glimpse. We got a touch of what God's glory is. Now, you might say, "Preacher, now you're out there a little bit." No, I'm telling you, I got a dose. And it's real. And you may say I'm crazy, but it's real, Brother Jim. And I'll go to heaven and go to my grave. It's real. And that's why I shout today. I'm still excited about the power of God. When I feel God's Spirit and I feel it running up and down my soul, and I think and I know that what a recipient that I am, and I do not deserve it, but God says I love you, and here's your sweet Spirit to prove that I love you. Glory, hallelujah. I'm saying you don't have to get as tore up as I do, but there ain't nothing wrong with it. Praise the Lord. And while they were praying, his countenance changed. Boy, you don't think prayer, this message is turning way different than I meant for it to. You don't think prayer can't do a change in you? Let's try it a little while. Just spend some time in prayer. Get along, and buddy, you'll change just like the Lord did. I tell you, when we spend time in prayer, that a lot of these hard feelings, a lot of these... Let me tell you how to start liking somebody you don't like. Start praying for them. Just start praying. Well, I don't want to pray. I'm going to pray them out. Amen. That's what I heard about a preacher. They said, pray for him. He said, not pray him out. Pray for this person. Go on your face before God and ask God to bless this person. Ask God to touch this person. And if they're really a mean person to you, ask God to change them. And ask God to help you to be the best person to them that you could ever be. You might say, preacher, I didn't know you'd lost it. It'll work. You'll start getting a different feeling for that person. You'll start praying, and then you'll actually start liking that person. Amen? Praise the Lord. That didn't cost you nothing. And the Bible says that even his clothes was white and shining. In Mark chapter 9, verse 3, and his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on the earth can white them. Now I want you to get the picture. They were praying. All of a sudden, Jesus started glowing. He glowed. His clothes glowed. It was just a magnificent. You remember when Moses went on the mount and stood before God, and when he came off, they had to put a veil on his face. He was trying to cover it up. Jesus wasn't covering it up. Glory, hallelujah, because he deserved it. He let it shine. Boy, I tell you what, if we got anything in us, let it shine. He said we're a city on a hill and can't be hid. We're supposed to let our light shine. We're supposed to let the glory of God work through us, and they're supposed to be able to see it. Praise the Lord. Remember that song? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. That's a kid's song. No, it ain't. Some of us need to get a hold of it. Amen? Can I get an amen right there? Praise the Lord. I better go on, or we'll be here till 3 o'clock. I might be by myself, man. And see, these three disciples got a glimpse of his glory. Whew. These three men was getting ready to be very instrumental in spreading the gospel. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. We read this morning in the Sunday school class, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. He's getting ready to go. He was getting ready to die. These three guys were going to be very instrumental in carrying the gospel. He took them aside. In fact, they've all got books they've written in the Bible that we study, we preach out of. He said, I want you three to see something. He took them aside, and they saw his glory. Whew. You know what I found as I studied this and I was looking at this and I jotted down? I remember a song my mama used to listen to a preacher on Sunday mornings. He sung, I believe his name was Repass. And he had sang, he was more than a man when he walked along the shores of Galilee. He was more than a man when he touched the blinded eyes, made them see. And how much more? I believe God took them aside. I believe Jesus took them aside and said, I'm more than a man. You're going to need this when they start killing you all, when they start crucifying you guys, when they start putting you to death and putting you in prison and beating you down. I want you to know, glory, hallelujah, that you're not preaching the gospel of a man. It's God. I want you to see my glory. I want you to see who I am. And boy, I tell you what, I think they come off that mountain with a different charge. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. He's more than a man this morning. Have you found him? Do you have a relationship with him? Is he God of your life? Do you serve him in everything? Praise the Lord. I'm glad he's more than a man. Glory, hallelujah. A man can't do what Jesus has done for me. A mere man can't change my life. A mere man can't make a preacher out of a redneck. Praise the Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Whew. My goodness. You feel the power of God this morning. I'm telling you what. I'm so tore up I can't even hardly preach. Then Moses and Elijah appears. And these two represent, and I've heard a lot, say Moses represents the law and Elijah represents the prophets. But also I think Elijah represents something else. How many remembers how Elijah's life ended? It didn't end, did it? He was caught up. Boy, I think he's representing the church. Glory, hallelujah. One of these days, we're going to be caught out. We're going to be caught up just as Elijah was. Praise the Lord. And we see that these were representatives that were standing there that day. Lessons from the meeting is that believers are conscious existence after death. Elijah, Moses had passed away, and they was conscious, and they was existence. And you ever get thinking, wondering about heaven, where we gonna know anybody? Is anybody gonna know us? I don't see nowhere here where the Lord had to tell them who these two guys were. They knew who they were. Book of Corinthians says you'll be known as you're known. You'll know as you're known. And we see that they knowed who these two guys was. And I'll tell you, what an exciting thing for believers that one of these days, that when this life is over, that will just translate right on over into life eternal. And we'll be existing forever. And we'll be conscious. Praise the name of the Lord. And just on the other hand, that the ones that will go to hell, if you read in Luke chapter 16, that when they go to hell, they're conscious. And they know that they remember the past. I think they'll remember every time that they had an opportunity to be saved, and they turned it away. I'm convinced that where the Bible says, and their worm dieth not, is talking about the conscience. There's nothing can eat at you like your conscience can. And throughout all eternity, that will be in their mind and saying, why did I not ask Jesus into my heart? Forever and ever, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, as the Bible describes it. See, heaven has an interest in the cross. Heaven had an interest in the cross. Jesus, this was all about him going to the cross. These two men came and talked to him about his accomplishment that he was going to accomplish, about his death, and they had come from glory and was talking with him. Glory, hallelujah. You don't think heaven wasn't interested in the cross? You think heaven wasn't interested in our salvation? That he sent two of the greatest representatives of mankind to come and talk and converse with the Savior right before he went and died on the cross. Heaven's concerned about lost souls. Heaven's concerned about folks that don't know the Lord, that's not living like they ought to for the Lord. And see, and the cross was not an afterthought. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 5, "And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not. This is John writing, one of these guys. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth." In Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, it refers to Jesus, the Lamb, as being slain before the foundation of the world. Before the world was spoken into existence, it was as if Jesus was already on the cross. That's the way he was referred to. Glory, hallelujah. God, the cross is not an afterthought. It is an accomplishment. Glory, hallelujah. Praise the Lord this morning. What a Savior we serve. What a blessed and holy Savior. I tell you what, I've got 3 points. I just got the first one. If you will, raise your hand and say, "Preacher, I'll be back tonight and hear the second one. I'll skip it and we'll say it tonight." But if you don't, then I'm going to preach all three of them. I'll kick your hands. Amen. I won't go down to verse 35. Rhonda's hand is the first and up. "And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him." And this is the divine message. The second one is the disciples' mistakes, but this, the third one here, and I want to finish on this one, is the divine message. "This is my beloved Son, hear him." There's a lot of voices in the world today. There's a lot of different things, a lot of different voices speaking, a lot of different peoples leading different ways, and I'm sure it was in this same time. God says, "You listen to my Son." The other two disappeared when Peter started talking about wanting to set up tabernacles and everything. Moses and Elijah, they didn't see them anymore. He said, when the cloud moved away, they saw Jesus only. Boy, and I'm telling you, that right here is the meat of the matter. The divine message is that it's all about Jesus. It's everything of him. It's all about him. And if you ever want to get to heaven, you'll have to go through him to get there. You'll have to ask him into your heart and trust him to be the Savior of your soul. Because without him, you'll never see heaven. There's nobody else and no other thing else that I can say that about except for Jesus. I can stand firmly on the Word of God and on the will of God and the Spirit of God. I can stand and I can tell you that without Jesus, you will wake up in hell one day without His mercy and grace of His precious blood. Amen. "This is my beloved Son, hear Him." We need to hear him when he calls you to salvation. In John 3:7, the Bible said when he was talking to Nicodemus, Jesus said, "Nicodemus, you must be born again. You got to be born of the water and of the Spirit." Now, a lot of the theologians and a lot of people a whole lot smarter than I am says that means that's a double meaning of being born of the water and of the Spirit. I'm just kind of simple. I kind of think that means you got to be born of a physical death, but a physical birth, but you got to have a spiritual birth. If you have a physical birth, it's only one you have, then you're not going to get to heaven. Born once, die twice. Born twice, never die. Praise the Lord. That's an old song right there. And praise the Lord that the Bible says it's as appointed unto man once to die. That word once in there. It didn't say twice. It said once to die. What we do about the second death over in Revelation, when the Bible talks about the second death is when they're cast into hell at the judgment seat, at the great white throne judgment, then he said, this is the second death. Boy, I'm glad when you're born twice, you don't never have to worry about that second death. Glory, hallelujah. That if you're born twice, you just die once. Then when we die, that we raise up into eternal life and we'll be walking down the streets of gold. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. And I'm not living on a cabin on the hillsides either. I'm living right downtown Rainbow Avenue in my beautiful mansion. Glory, hallelujah, that Jesus has gone to prepare for me. And he said, if I go and prepare, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Glory, hallelujah. Woo! Are you seeing his glory this morning? Praise the name of the Lord. Woo! You might say, preacher, what'd you have for breakfast this morning? Glory, hallelujah. Them oatmeal's done good today, ain't it? Do we hear him when he calls us to service? He calls us. That's what we've been talking about in Sunday school. We've been called to service. In Matthew 16:24, the Bible said, then Jesus said unto the disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. It's a denying. We have to die to self. Have to die. I had to die to my ambitions, my goals, my desires. I'm going to tell you, at age 42, I had no desire to be a preacher. I mean, I was okay at being a deacon, and my desire was to finish out being a deacon, helping any way I could around the church. And I think Debbie was probably in the Sunday school class that I taught when I was called to preach. And I was dissatisfied. But then I had to die to my desires. I had to die to myself, where I seen me in 12 years. I sure didn't see me pastoring the church. But he did. And I died to that. And I accepted what he had for me. The rest is history. I've been your pastor going on 9 years. Praise the Lord. That's God. That's more than a man. Woo, glory. That's Jesus. That's what he'll do for your life. I just scared everybody. He's going to call me to preach? Nobody's got a job for everybody. Some pastors, some teachers, some apostles, some disciples. You can read and there's jobs in. So David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord and dwell in the tents of the wicked. And it's, have you been called? Have you heard his call into service? See, we are to be service. And what it is what he wants. See, not everybody could be a preacher. What if every one of us was preachers? You'd be sitting there rating my messages. Boy, he misspoke that one. But some does different things. There's some leaders in the church, and there's some that there's Marthas and Marys. And there's different ones and different makeups of the church, and God has a job for everybody. And that's why we want to open up the doors of the church here before long and invite members. You come and be part of this body of what God's doing. God's doing wonderful things. Don't you want to be part? See, that's why I got in. I was afraid I'd miss out on something. I want all He had for me. See, have you answered and listened to His call of service? What about His call to baptism? In Matthew 28, verse 19, the Bible says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them." Peter goes said that you got to be saved and baptized. Baptism is a very, very crucial part of being saved. Now, I'm not going to tell you like some folks will that that's the only way you go to heaven. You can go to heaven without being baptized, I believe. But what baptism does is tell the whole world, I'm saved. I'm going to follow Jesus the rest of my life. And I'm going in the baptism waters, and I'm going to resemble His death, burial, and resurrection. I'm going to go down and die to self and go down as the old man and come out the new. Glory, hallelujah. Come out the new man. I'm going to walk different. I'm going to talk different. I'm going to look different. I'm going to act different. Everything I do is going to be different. This is the message we preach. And then, do we hear the call to soul winning? In this same passage in Matthew 28, 19, Jesus said, "Go ye therefore." This is the go in the gospel. Go, be soul winners. If you wasn't here Wednesday night, the Lord, I took me a different path. And we spent time talking about the Roman road to salvation and ways of being the witness, being a soul winner. See, he didn't save us just to come to church. I mean, I'm glad you're here, but that's not why He saved you. He saved you that there's somebody you can win. There may be two that you can win. There may be 10 that you can win. He knows who it is that you can win to the Lord, and He saved you and going to use you as all of the days that you're down on this earth. Isn't that exciting? See, years ago, I took a lot of this stuff as a task and a burden. I thought when I was first called to preach, I said, like I had some kind of disease or something. Well, I'm called. If I want to go to heaven, I've got to preach. Man, I didn't look at the blessings of it. I'm telling you, there is no greater blessing that I've ever received in my life than to be stand and preach the gospel and the power of God hit you. And be anointed of the Lord and ordained of God to preach the gospel. And what a blessing it is. What a blessing it is to get to tell somebody else about Jesus. What a blessing it is to be part of a church. What a blessing it is to pick up the telephone and call one of your brothers and sisters and say, you know, I'm having a bad day. I'm not complaining, but will you pray for me? I'm having a bad day. Glory. I'm going to tell you, that's a blessing. Then you know that one. Then sometimes we start the prayer chains and sometimes, and then God, that wheel within a wheel gets to moving and gets to working and God, woo! The next thing you know, that old black cloud rolls away and the sun shines. And you say, you do still believe. No, I'm down here, don't you? Praise the Lord. Glory, hallelujah. What is the Lord saying to you this morning? With every head bowed and every eye closed, what's God speaking to you about this morning? And as I went through this, is the Lord speaking to you about salvation? How many would lift your hand up and say, "Preacher, I really don't know if I'm saved or not. I'm not real sure. I don't know where I'd go if something happened today." Would you slip your hand up and say, "Preacher, I really don't know. I'm not real sure." I'm not wanting to make a spectacle anyone. I just want to pray for you. Say, preacher, I believe I'm lost. I don't think I'm saved. But anybody think, Lord, preacher, Lord's speaking to me about service. I need to do more for Him. I love Him. I trust Him. But I really think that I probably ought to be doing more than I'm doing for Him. Would you slip your hand up and say, preacher, pray for me? Bless these hands. Lord, bless these hands. Lord's been good to me. I just don't know if I'm doing like that. Are you here this morning, the Lord dealing with you about baptism? You say, preacher, I need to be baptized. Now, I also want to tie in church membership right there. What is the Lord speaking to you about soul winning? Let me slip up your hand and say, preacher, I don't witness like I should. Pray for me that the Lord will help me in this area and I'll be a soul winner. I can lead many to the Lord. Fathers, we come to you in prayer again. We thank you, Lord, for this day, and thank you for your many wonderful blessings of life. And Father, that I thank you for each and every one that's here today. And Lord, you know our hearts. You know what we're in need of. And God, that you know what you're calling us to and what you're speaking to us about this morning. Lord, that I pray that you would touch everyone. Lord, that every one of us that you've spoke to, help us, Lord, to be able to come and pray and call upon your name today. Lord, that I pray that if there be any here that don't know you, this would be the day. And I pray, God, that you would lay on our hearts someone that don't know you, that we would focus on leading that one to you. God, help us in this time of invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Will you come this morning? Will you come? Will you come and trust the Lord today? Allow Him to move in your life. Will you come? You to come.